Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the great deeds of might, the glorious and wondrous deeds of creation, the works of providence of maintaining this creation, of showing goodness to all mankind, to all living things, and for your works of redemption throughout the history of your people, and particularly through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent for our redemption. We pray, Father, that you would continue to work your power and your wondrous deeds through his reign, that you would work among us this evening, that you would grant us peace, that you would grant us comfort, and that you would build us up in holiness, that you would strengthen and your people, and that you would feed us with your word, that we might be strengthened to walk in your ways this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. We'll be looking at Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 8. Jeremiah 23, starting in verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my flock, for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord. God gave this message through the prophet Jeremiah to a people who had suffered under bad leaders, bad rulers, and were about to go into exile. They were about to be scattered literally among the nations, cast out of the land. And in the midst of this, God, and in the midst of many prophecies of judgment that was coming, God gives this message of comfort, that he indeed would shepherd his people. It's not comfort to everyone, as we'll see, but a comfort to believers, a comfort to those who trust in him, that he will shepherd his people, that he had not forgotten them nor given up on caring for them as a people. And he describes in this passage first that God will judge destructive shepherds. Two, that God will gather and prosper his flock under the care of good shepherds. Three, God will raise up David's heir as the shepherd of the flock. And fourth, God will gather his flock into his church. We'll walk through this passage two verses at a time as we cover these points. First, God will judge destructive shepherds. Look in verses 1 through 2. There, God describes his attitude towards the current shepherds, the shepherds of that time when Jeremiah was giving this prophecy, that they had failed. they had indeed not fulfilled their calling. Now, shepherds, obviously it's an analogy here. It's not literally talking about the shepherds who herded sheep, but rather shepherd as a metaphor for the leaders of the people, that they were shepherds of people. Now, the shepherds referred to the kings, the royal officials, the priests, and the prophets. Right before this chapter, chapter 22, focused on the kings of Israel, and how God had called them to fulfill their duty, and yet how they had failed in their duty, and how they were going to be judged. In the rest of chapter 3, after this passage, God's going to talk about the false prophets, and the priests get a mention as well, that both in the royal administration and in the religious leadership of Israel, that the people who ought to have been guiding the people as shepherds in the ways of the Lord had not done so, and indeed had fulfilled their calling in such a way that Israel was going to get scattered and spread abroad into the nations, and that the ones actually doing this, were the ones responsible, were the shepherds who had led them into this predicament. Judah's leadership ought to have guided the people to covenant faithfulness. Instead, they failed to correct the people's sins, they set a bad example themselves, and they oppressed the innocent. In some ways, they weren't harsh enough. They gave a very easy message what the people wanted to hear, didn't call them to repentance. And on the other hand, they were far too harsh, as the kings oppressed the innocent, sought dishonest gain, even shed innocent blood. They drove away the people through oppression, and they let the people scatter away into evil ways by failing to correct them. The Lord declares in these first two verses, "You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord." He will not neglect these destructive shepherds the way these destructive shepherds had neglected the people. He will attend to them in a way that they will not like. He will shepherd the shepherds, and in this case, he will do so in a powerful way. Because the shepherds indeed had become more like wolves. Think about it. What do wolves do? They scatter the flock. They destroy the flock. So he would judge them like a shepherd judges a wolf. In other words, we find here that God cares for his people, and so he will not turn a blind eye to their plight under bad leadership. He will attend to pastors or other leaders who destroy his people through neglect, through falsehood, or through oppression. He will attend to the shepherd who only tells people what they want to hear rather than correcting them. He will attend to the pastor who lets people wander away into destruction. He will attend to the shepherd who misleads people into heresy. He will attend to the shepherd who mistreats others, who serves only himself, and who fails to correct others who do likewise. These opening verses show us God's care for his people through his holding shepherds to account. This passage gives comfort, I believe, for those who have suffered from destructive shepherds. It's still a problem today. God, though, does not support leaders who abuse their position. They do not get a free pass because they are religious leaders. But in fact, they will be held to a higher standard by the Lord. As James says, "Let not many of you become teachers, for you'll be held to a higher account." God cares for his people. He is not like the abusive or neglectful leaders that people may encounter. This passage, of course, then also is a warning to shepherds, to those who have responsibility for God's people. This is a charge and a warning to pastors, to elders. Parents as well can heed this warning. Though they don't hold office in the church, they still have some of God's people in their care, their children. Do not destroy, do not scatter God's sheep through mistreatment or through neglect. Both errors, and in fact, sometimes people fall into both errors at the same time. Both errors should be avoided. Your office is a stewardship. Remember that these are God's sheep and that He oversees you. The second point we find in verses 3 through 4. In verses 3 through 4, God describes what He's going to do. Not only will He judge the evil shepherds, the neglectful and abusive shepherds, but He will also gather and prosper His flock under the care of good shepherds. While the sheep would be scattered into exile, He would gather them again. Similar to how Jesus describes Himself as the good shepherd who searches for the lost sheep, so God gathers His scattered sheep back into the fold. He will make them be fruitful and multiply. Words, of course, that harken back to Genesis and also the beginning of Exodus. A state of prosperity that gives glory both to God with the increase of His kingdom and a blessing to His people. And as an instrument of His care, God is going to appoint good shepherds for them. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. So we find here that good shepherds are those who care for the sheep. The word here, care, literally refers to feeding, or guiding the sheep to where they would feed, but it also is a word to describe the work of a shepherd generally. In fact, a shepherd is one who does this thing. It's the verb form. The noun form is shepherd in Hebrew. But it is one who cares for the flock, that sees that they are well taken care of. And good shepherds do this in such a way that it relieves the flock of fear. It builds their morale, that they are not dismayed, nor that they would be missing. Now, initially, after the return from exile, God raised up good leaders. Unlike Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, He raised up governors like Zerubbabel and Nehemiah. He raised up priests like Joshua the high priest and Ezra the scribe. But He would also, if we look a little further on, He would raise up pastors for His people through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, the Apostle Paul writes this, in speaking of how Christ ascended on high and received gifts to shed upon His people, he says, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are gifts that Christ gives to His church, equipping them, calling them, sending them to care for His people, for His body. Certainly the apostles would be some that Christ raised up, but this would continue throughout the church's history. So good shepherds gather the sheep, and they care for the sheep. Church shepherds are called to gather the elect through the proclamation of the gospel, and then to care for them, feeding them with the word, with the sacraments, leading them into worship and godliness, correcting them as they go into evil ways, and to protect them from wolves. The work of a shepherd describes the work of a pastor. Of course, the word pastor literally meaning shepherd. The consequence of this care for God's people is peace, security, confidence, and I would add stability. So from these two verses, God's care for His flock and doing so through raising up shepherds, we learn a few things. First of all, obviously, to follow the Lord, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He calls you into the fold. He leads you. As Psalm 23 beautifully describes. Second, not only follow the Lord, but pray that the Lord would raise up good shepherds for His church. He is the one that calls shepherds, pastors. He calls them, he equips them, he grants them or withholds them from his church. So appeal to verses like this one in Jeremiah as you pray to God that he would grant good and true shepherds to care for his church. Third, make use of God's provision of shepherds. This is one error of those who don't think that they need a church, who want to just be Christians on their own. They neglect this provision of God's for their good, like sheep that would prefer to stay out in the wild. But people can be in a church while making a similar error, neglecting this help and keeping their distance. But I would exhort you to make use of this provision. Obviously, shepherds, pastors like myself can be fallible, can seem weak, but they are instruments that Christ has decided to use to care for his people. We recently went through the parable of the two servants in Matthew 24, where he describes how he appointed servants to care for the household, for the fellow servants, and the administration of the kingdom. He has done this, and he holds them to account. On his return, he will bless those who discharge this office faithfully, but he will cut to pieces the one who abused his charge, who beat his servants, and drank with drunkards. Jesus describes much the same as Jeremiah in his ministry. Hebrews 13:17 exhorts the same way. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. But of course, this passage applies to shepherds themselves. It applies to me. It applies to others. We ought to teach, to exhort, to train, to correct, to comfort you, that you might dwell in the fold and fear no more and not be dismayed. We ought to feed the flock with the word of God, to speak it clearly and boldly, to maintain the honor of God in his church and to build up his people, protect them, to care for them, and to see that none of God's flock are missing. As Paul told the Ephesian elders, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So God cares for his people. That means he will judge bad shepherds. It means he will provide good shepherds. It means he will be himself a shepherd, bringing them in, gathering them into the fold. In the third point, we find in verses 5 through 6, we see that he does this particularly through the Son of David. As we know, the Son of God, his only begotten Son that he sends to be the heir of David, the king of his people. In verses 5 through 6, he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when he will raise up for David a righteous when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Of course, one of the most well-known shepherds in the Bible, in ancient Israel in particular, was King David. King David, the shepherd boy, he cared for a literal sheep, a literal flock. He fought the wild animals, and he cared for them so that they could eat and graze in peace. But not only was he a literal shepherd, but God made him a shepherd of Israel. That point, that parallel, is made both in 2 Samuel as well as in Psalm 78 at the end of that psalm. He took him from being a shepherd of sheep to being a shepherd of Israel. David's heirs had failed to exercise this office faithfully, but nonetheless, God would fulfill his promise to raise up David's offspring to care for his people, to bless his people through him. He would raise up for David a righteous branch, that though David's line would be like a tree that would be cut off, as it were, as the monarchy was about to come to an end as far as the kingdom of Israel was concerned. Yet a shoot would come from that stump. A righteous branch, unlike all the unrighteous branches, would shoot forth and would culminate in a particular king, and that would be King Jesus. Jesus himself speaks of himself as a shepherd, as in John 10. And we ought to think of all this Old Testament background when we come to himself describing himself as the good shepherd. So Jesus reigns as the shepherd king. And it says here he will deal wisely. Like King Solomon realized that a king needs wisdom, so Jesus will be wisdom personified, wisely administering his kingdom, discerning right from wrong, even granting wisdom to his people. He will execute justice and righteousness. He will indeed deliver those who are oppressed. He will judge those who persecute his people. He will conquer and restrain all his and our enemies. But not only that, he will even make his people willing and to lead them in righteousness, more than any human, merely human king could do. In fact, he will, as it says, save God's people. He will save them from their sins. And he will make them dwell secure. He will rule and defend us, his people. That though this world with devils filled should threaten to subdue us, we will not fear, for Christ has willed his truth to triumph through us. Christ is the one who is protecting his people, who cares for us, and will indeed establish us forever. In other words, through Christ, the other promises that we've looked at will be fulfilled. God says, I will gather my people, and it's through Christ that his people will be gathered, that he will make them fruitful and will increase the nation, and that will be done through Christ. He'll provide good pastors for his people, and again, that'll be done through Christ, that Christ will send his apostles, his prophets, his pastors, his teachers, and he will give us peace. We come to his name, or at least what he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. It's actually similar to the word Zedekiah, Zedek being righteous, Yah at the end being Jehovah, the Lord. Zedekiah would be righteousness of the Lord. Here, this future king would be the Lord is our righteousness. He truly will be our righteousness, the Lord, our righteousness. This messianic king would be righteous and would make his people righteous. Christ came as our righteousness in many ways. He makes us righteous by causing us to be born again. He makes us righteous by being our righteousness, which is imputed to us, that we be not condemned. He himself also is himself the Lord, something that Jeremiah's audience might not have understood, but something we certainly can see as he says that he is, before Abraham was, I am Jehovah. I am meaning Jehovah, that he himself is God come in the flesh. So look to the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your King, your hope, the one in whom all the promises of God say amen. Find their yes, fulfillment, confirmation. And as our shepherd, follow his voice. As he calls, follow him, as sheep who follow their shepherd. Heed his correction. He does correct as a king and as a shepherd. As we go astray, it is good that he bring us back, that he train us and disciple us. And furthermore, take refuge in him, the way sheep do a shepherd, and enter his fold. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Verses 7 through 8 then finish this passage, and it compares how God will do this work of redemption that he's been talking about, and how it will even be greater than the redemption of Israel from Egypt. That just as he brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm and brought them through the Red Sea and was known as that God, so he would now be known as the God who brought Israel from all the countries where he had driven them. that he had brought them back into the land. He would bring them out from foreign dominion so that they could be in his domain to serve him as his people. Initially, this was fulfilled as that he literally brought them to the land of Israel, as they came back under Cyrus and other waves of exiles that returned. But this even awaited a greater fulfillment that we find discussed in the New Testament, that God would bring his elect from all the nations, which would even include the Gentiles themselves, that he would bring into his kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven, into the church of Jesus Christ. As we saw in our morning sermons in Matthew 24, verse 31, that he will send out his messengers with the trumpet call of the gospel to gather his elect from the four winds of heaven. Jesus gathers his flock by his voice, and he calls them. And he does so through his preachers, which he sends out. How shall we hear him without a preacher? And it is the preachers who proclaim him, through which Christ calls his people, and through his written word, through the gospel. So we find that God shepherds his people, even when the leadership messes up and is itself corrupted, and the people follow and, like sheep without a shepherd, wander every which way. The Lord will have compassion upon his people. He will gather them again. He will not leave them there. Though we might see the church today scatter in many ways, sometimes seem like sheep without a shepherd, everyone doing what is right in his own eyes, yet God will care for his people. He will hold his pastors to account. He will himself be the pastor of his church, and through the Lord Jesus Christ will save his people and care for them and lead them in paths of righteousness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our God, we thank you indeed for raising up a righteous branch from David, our Lord and King and Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would indeed bless his reign, a blessed reign, which is for the good of all his people. We pray that you would indeed draw in many who are lost, who wander in darkness, into his fold. We pray that you would help us and strengthen us to walk in your ways, to not be scattered. We ask that you would raise up shepherds to shepherd your flock, that you would grant true pastors to your church. We pray, Father, that you would be with our church and our church's leadership, with myself, with Elder Stahl, the others. We pray that you would grant us faithfulness, that we might indeed care for your church with our presbytery, with all of those who serve alongside in the ministry of the gospel in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We pray that you would indeed hold us to account and direct us in ways that are good for your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.